The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on msonewsports.com and salemnews.com. Hello and welcome to the sports writers from the Salem News. I'm Bill Newell from MSO News Sports, joined by Phil Stacey, the executive sports editor of the Salem News, Matt Williams, assistant sports editor, and Nick Giannino. Now, before we begin, I've got to tell you that we had a technical glitch in our opening 3 or 4 minutes of the program in which Phil Stacey outlined the complete North Shore hockey situation, including noting Swampscott's game tonight as we record on Monday. Unfortunately, that did not come out on the recording. The rest of the show does come out with Nick and Matt and the rest of Phil Stacey's comments, but we do apologize for the lack of boys hockey coverage to get things underway. So we now go to basketball coverage, boys action, Nick Giannino on both Lynn English and Beverly playing state tournament games tomorrow night.
Well, just back to Beverly, like Willie was saying, those two games, those are their only two losses, obviously, and like you said, they were competitive for at least a half, better part of three quarters in both games, single-digit deficit at the half. Just talking to Matt, it seems like teams of this caliber, this talent, they're going to wear you down eventually. So, you know, no matter how long Beverly stood, you know, they stood with them, they were going to make their run, and that's kind of what happened. But nonetheless, great experience for those kids going into the tournament, playing two of the best teams in the state. So they're rolling. They came out, had a great performance against Malden Catholic. Really took it to them, 20-point win. Obviously, Jack Crowley was the story of that one, 32 points, 19 rebounds. He was all over the place. And, you know, when he takes it up to that next level, Beverly can, you know, they're really hard to beat. And then you had Duncan, who went for 20 in that game quietly, you know, just doing his thing as well. So they're going to be tough to beat, but a tough matchup coming up for them on Tuesday against Burlington. Burlington, obviously, a battle-tested team, too, plays in a tough conference, so that'll be interesting. I haven't seen them play yet, but just looking at their schedule, you know, they have a lot of good wins. I think they won 16 games in the regular season, so it's not going to be a cakewalk by any means for Beverly, but they're putting together a really good season, and I don't think people are giving them their just due at this point. Hopefully that 20-point win over Malden Catholic will turn some heads. But and then the only other team we got left, as Bill mentioned, Hamilton Wenham, the Generals, who got off to that 1-5 start, then won 13 in a row, and then lost a couple tough ones down the stretch. Their last two games, they just looked awful. But they've come out and they've won two tournament games against solid teams, no less. I mean, Swampscott, that game could have went either way. Both teams are missing some key players. And then yesterday against Watertown. To go into Watertown and get that win, especially the way that they were turning the ball over, Hamilton went ahead 31 turnovers in that game and somehow still won. I mean, they really prided themselves on the defensive end, and that was a difference. I mean, low-scoring game, 45-41 was the final. So they're really exceeding expectations this year, is Hamilton Wenham. And they're doing it without their starting point guard and senior captain, Ian Coffey, who supposedly tore some ligaments or broke his foot the day before their first tournament game. So that was a tough loss. And they had to just plug in the next guy. Ethan Dwyer's been taking over that starting point guard role, and, you know, he's been more than serviceable. Coach DeMarino has shuffled in a few other guys as well, but they're playing some great basketball. And I got to give a shout-out to Marcus Norden, the sophomore there. He just plays with no fear. I mean, he hit 10 out of 10 free throws in the second half to kind of seal the deal yesterday. So they'll be going against St. Mary's, obviously a huge test there. I know St. Mary's has a Beatty Walsh. He's the 6'8" guy. He really took it to Bishop Fenwick, who I think is comparable to Hamilton Wenham in terms of talent. So we'll see how they're going to match up against that. Hamilton Wenham's not the tallest team, but they do have a few kids that can bang. So that'll be a good test.
And it's funny, Matt, I wasn't aware of the respect that Beverly was getting from the basketball circles. Yeah. But we respect them because we've known what they've been doing all season long. And there's one team in the Northeastern Conference, Lynn English, that's probably the best team, and then there's Beverly, and then, you know, maybe that's where the lack of
I think that's what it is the Northeastern Conference just gets a bad rep, but in all honesty, it's a pretty competitive league, I think. I mean, they beat a lot of good teams, so I think they deserve some credit.
I mean, one score that I look at, and we'll go to Matt quickly here, is the Swampscott-Wakefield score. I think Wakefield played Burlington very tough at the end of the year and lost, if I'm not mistaken, either in overtime or just before overtime or just before the end of the game. And then Swampscott beats Wakefield over there at the end of the season in a non-league game, not a tournament game. But, Matt, pick it up from here, wherever you want to go with it.
Real quick. I was just tying into that point. It's interesting looking at, you know, common matchups, and I noticed that Burlington, who's playing Beverly, had lost to Watertown earlier this year. And obviously Hamilton Wenham beat Watertown, and I consider Beverly a little bit a step above Hamilton Wenham. So that bodes well for them getting into that matchup.
Well, the other thing I think with the NEC is, like, some of them had some good tournament matchups, you know, and certainly Salem has all the history in the world, right? They played okay in the tournament. Peabody played okay at Cambridge. I mean, that's a hard place to go in and play, and they certainly covered the spread in that game, right? But was it really? Wow.
87-45.
Oh, that was not what it was. I mean, come on. Yeah.
Game, right?
No, not even, right? Yeah. I mean, it was. I think it was like a tied at the half.
Yeah, they blew that. So anyone looking at that's off. TBD came to play in that game.
But you gotta hand it to Beverly for this reason. I think, you know, a team that doesn't have a lot of tournament history and a lot of tournament experience against a team from the Catholic Conference, right? Malden Catholic beat St. John's Prep twice. We've seen Malden Catholic with a low seed upset Marblehead in the tournament, right, a couple years ago. So that's a team that can pick you off. Beverly's been picked off in previous years. And so for them to come out and drop the hammer and win by, what was it, Nick, 25, 30 points, drop 80 points. I mean, that's how you want to start the state tournament. That's how you take care of business. That's how the Patriots usually start their playoff runs, right? So, I mean, you really got to take your hand off to Beverly. And I mean, Exactly. And they put the hammer on them. MC did, I believe, yeah. So, I mean, that means Beverly could probably beat St. John's Prep, which is pretty good for Beverly. And I'll tell you, I mean, to me, you know, I don't know what's going to happen in the semifinals and the finals. I know that the Middlesex League is very good. Those Middlesex League teams had great battles against the John Walsh Danvers teams when they were in the Division II tournament. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be easy for Beverly, but for me, when I see Beverly come out and make a statement like that and take care of their business like that, that tells me that this is not your father's and your grandfather's Beverly basketball program. That's a serious exclamation point to me. And if you're not taking Beverly seriously, you're just not paying attention.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
All right. Willie, you want to just quickly touch on girls hockey in the postseason? There's nobody, anybody left? Anybody here? Except for St. Mary's.
Well, here's the long and the short of it. I hate hockey and I don't like kids. We're not talking about hockey until Thanksgiving again. Hockey's done. That's a little Mighty Ducks line for those of you who perhaps are not familiar with the Disney franchise. I do not actually hate all the kids. That's a Gordon Bombay-ism. No, I mean, St. Mary's is still in it. They got a shot. Certainly they're going to play Woburn. And I would think the St. Mary's Woburn winner would be favored to get to the TD Garden. You know, of course, that game is at Woburn, which is interesting. I saw a discussion on the internet today about a Woburn basketball team is hosting a game, and that's like this travesty. Oh, hey, their hockey team does it every year. Framingham, right, is not allowed to play an elimination game for the boys' Super 8 in their home rink, but the Woburn girls play elimination games in their home rink every year, so I don't know what we're doing here. Well, but they changed the second one because they said, well, we'll give you the first round, but an elimination game, we can't have this. But you know, if it's the Woburn girls, it's just fine. And you know, hey, not to cast aspersions. I mean, we've seen cases over the years where the Central Catholic boys and the Central Catholic girls and North Andover boys have played elimination games in their home gym for basketball. So it happens, but it's interesting that it seems to happen with the Woburn girls every year and no one seems to really notice, you know, except for us few girls hockey followers. But you know, yeah, tough exits for Peabody Masco, tough exit for Winthrop over there on the other side too. They played really well and almost upset Belmont. I think when I look at all the talent Winthrop has coming back next year, that they really might be the team to beat in the NEHL next year. And you know, Masco and Peabody are gonna have to reload a little bit, find some goalies. I'm sure it'll be very competitive, but I do kind of have my eye on Butch Martucci's Winthrop team as like, you know what, next year, they're, you know, if we're doing a preseason poll now without seeing the eighth graders, I'm probably voting Winthrop number one. But, hey, it was a fun season. I'll miss it. And, you know, it's baseball from here on out. I'm not going to be talking much hockey, you know, from now until next Thanksgiving, unless it involves Mr. Pasta.
And that was a joke about Matt hating kids. It's just a joke. Yeah, just.
Before I get to my point, did you tweet out recently that or write something that nobody had seen more girls hockey games than you statewide? Because I was thinking about that.
Playoff
games. Because I'm thinking, you know, I think it would be tough to dispute that. I can't name everyone that does all those games, but you certainly have done quite a few, so that's a nice feather to hang your hat on.
I would be remiss not to mention my late friend and your friend as well, Mr. Bruce Lurch, who was probably had a lot more games than me up until his tragic passing, and certainly if he was still around, would be at a lot more games than me. So I think the girls' hockey community would be a lot better off if Bruce was still around. We certainly miss him at the girls' games, that's for sure.
You're talking about reporters. I mean, there's coaches that would be at more games than this guy here, though, right? You know what? That's close. It's close.
Well, I did want to bring up something that seemed to be a hot-button topic earlier today based on an event I was at last night, and it seemed as though, I think I saw you engaged, Willie, with somebody on the Twitterverse about this, the parking and or capacity at the Stoneham Arena Sunday night, 2 Super 8 games, 4 and 6 o'clock. Now, I had heard from one of my buddies on the tournament committee that they had to turn away 100 people at the game. You know, the place was banged out. I tweeted out, like, wow, it was a great atmosphere. I didn't realize that they allowed, like, noisemakers. Again, I thought that was, like, an MIA no-no. But there was somebody there with, like, what do they call those things from the World Cup? The vuvuzelas or something like that, the plastic air horns. You know, somebody asking me for Bruins tickets in Tampa tomorrow. I don't know if that's going to happen. But anyway, moving on. They had noisemakers and cowbells and, you know, somebody's waving the Irish flag and da-da-da-da-da and all this. It was a great atmosphere for tournament sports. You know, it happened to be hockey, but it could have been basketball, wrestling, you know, gymnastics, whatever. It's always good when they get great crowds.
They confiscated the beach ball over at the Hamilton game.
They did.
And all the students started booing.
Really? Could have had noxious oxide in there, you know. You can't have that. Anyway, I heard there were about 100 people turned away. Then you start to hear, well, actually, it was more like 200 people. Well, you know, I started getting tweets about it, and I had to wait outside 30 minutes in the cold, and I'm like,
how far they walked?
Okay, well, you know, it is winter. You're going to a rink, you know, like, yeah, it might be a little cold, and yeah, it wasn't. I don't think it was 10 degrees last night or anything like that. But anyway, I started to hear all these stories, and then someone, you know, oh, someone's grandmother didn't get in, and this one, you know, home team fans, and they should sell tickets. Somebody sent me a tweet that said, as if I have anything to do with this, but every player in one of these games should get 2 free tickets to hand out, and then family members should come first. It's like, well, back up the truck here. Hold on. We needed the rip here, but we don't have it. But if we can get a backing up truck sound here, like, you know, one of those deals. Relax. You know what? It's a state tournament. If you want to ensure yourself of a seat and you have an idea about the venue you're going to and or who is playing, I got 3 words for you. Get there early. Not difficult. Now, maybe I think a lot differently because this is our job, and I know you got to get there early if you want a parking spot and you want a spot in the whatever the makeshift press box is, or where you, in my case in Stoneham, where I want to be seated for the games. Having said that, it doesn't take a degree from MIT to figure out, well, 2 teams within like 20-minute rides of this particular venue, last night, St. John's Prep in Arlington. Strong fan bases. The, you know, again, air quote, exclusive boys hockey tournament in the state. It's the second of two games, so there are obviously going to be people from the first game wanting to stay and catch the second game. I mean, get there early. Like, what is so difficult about that? And I saw, you know, the MIA getting bashed about it. They shouldn't hold it at this rink and blah, 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 you know. I think it was nonsense. What was that one tweet, too, about, like, oh, the college coaches want to see two games. They got to think of four games.
That was somebody wanted the games to be at back-to-back venues, which I would suggest, if you're concerned about attendance and parking and long lines, you can't have back-to-back games, right? Because I think part of the reason your St. John's crowd was exacerbated standing outside in the cold so long because it was the second game. Right. So everybody from the first game, which went down to the winning goal score in the
39 seconds left or something.
Right. It's at the first game, still in the building. All their cars are still in the parking lot. And all the fans for the second game are trying to get in. I mean, if you hold them at different places, you're going to have a lot less of these problems, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with two games at the same venue. I think as a fan, it's great if you can catch both games. The problem lies when you're outside. I just think to say things like,
well, if you're a St. John's fan, how early are you going to get there? Do I have to get there and watch all the CM games then to get my seat? I mean, because then you're...
Yeah, and maybe that doesn't work for some people. You're right. I don't know. I just took it like this was, you know, it's a chance for people to watch two great games if they choose to. Maybe it's just something as simple as like there's a half-hour grace period where they can get people out of the building for one game and get people into the building for the next game or something like that. But, you know, there's a lot of things I think that people can take issue with when it comes to the governing body of high school athletics in this state. I don't think this is one of them, to be honest with you. I think they're doing the best they can with the ice time and trying to find venues that fit everybody and times that work and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. So I think it's much ado about nothing. And, like, you know what? Sometimes at popular events, you can't get in. You can't just go to the Patriots, oh, I want to get in. Like, no, it's sold out. You can't get in. Or I want to go to this show or see, you know, when Nick and his girlfriend go see the Broadway musicals, they can't go see that, you know? Come on, how many times have you seen Evita?
I saw them this week or so ago, yeah. But they were coming from the North Shore Music Theater before the basketball game. Yeah.
Yeah. I have been there.
A couple of quick things. Let's do a quick touch. Wrestling notes. We got some wrestling notes here, and then the statewide tournament that was passed. The MIAA member schools voted to have the statewide tournament, and maybe you guys want to weigh in on either of those things, wrestling, statewide tournament.
Sure. Willie's our expert on the statewide tournament. Just a quick thought. I guess I'm taking kind of a wait-and-see approach. I mean, as a member of the so-called fourth estate who has to worry about deadlines and scheduling and setting up photos, am I thrilled that we may have tournament games an hour plus or more away involving what I would term to be, you know, big teams or teams that tend to get a lot of readership and interest? No, that's less than ideal for us. But in the same way that the MIA isn't worried about, you know, how many college hockey coaches can catch back-to-back hockey games on one night, I don't think they're really worried so much about what we're doing as they are trying to make, you know, a situation that they feel works best and, you know, gives the kids the best experience. I think the jury's out on it, but I'm also kind of like, I'm not going to bash it either. I think it's a wait and see thing. Wrestling, we had two all-state champions, both from Danvers. Max Leet, three straight for him, which is amazing. He told me yesterday in an exclusive interview, I might add, that, did you notice the sarcasm in my voice there? I basically called him up. Hey, you want to talk? Sure. Now, Max is a great kid. He kicked a field goal to beat Danvers this past year with like Marblehead. 2 seconds. Marblehead. There you go. Yeah. And remember we talked to him on the field after the game. He was a really good kid. Anyway, he's won three straight wrestling all-state titles, and only three other guys in state history have ever won four straight. So he'll be shooting for that next week. And, of course, the great linebacker for Danvers, Russ Canova, defensive player of the year in the Northeastern Conference, he won his first state title. Both those boys will be going to New England this weekend. Danvers, real good showing. St. John's Prep, a real good showing. Maskenaumen had a couple of guys, and Ian Darling and Liam McAvaney both do well. Poor Liam ended up sixth place overall, but that's because he, I want to say, broke his, off the top of my head, was his elbow, and he had to forfeit his last two matches. So he very easily could have been in the finals had he stayed healthy and all. But really good wrestling season for our guys on the North Shore. Nick, you did a little bit of wrestling previous week, right?
Yeah, I like the wrestling.
I was just going to weigh in quickly. You talk about sights for hockey, but what about sights for basketball, Nick? Now, like tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Beverly has to go to Tewksbury. Sure. Now, normally a game like that would be played like maybe a Woburn or a Wakefield or something like that, but going up to Tewksbury in the drive time in the afternoon is not the best. I'm not sure why they're – and then English has got to go to Lawrence. Yeah. You know, it seems like why – can't they just find a court, you know, like around 128 somewhere for these schools that are a little more conducive? That's just my gripe on that piece.
Well, my thing is, why can't Beverly or like a top seed like that have two home games? I mean, they get the bye, they play one home game. They're in the semifinals of the section, and they can't have – yeah. But like, why can't they go another round and just have the higher seed host one more game? I mean, it's the semifinals of the section. It's not even like the final. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know.
They could have played the Beverly game at St. John's. I think that would have been nice. My guess, Bill, and I'm completely guessing, is that there was so much consternation about teams playing in gyms that they've been in before last year that they probably wanted to like avoid Wakefield for this one because Burlington, would have probably played there at one time or another. So they want to take both teams and stick them somewhere they've never been before. I guess. I mean, that's a guess. The Prep would be a great place.
That's an interesting question. Does it cost the MIAA the same amount
for every high school gym they use as opposed to, say, like if they wanted to use Endicott?
I think a college might.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing it would be, but I didn't know if it's the same for every high school gym. Or, you know, would a newer, bigger facility like the Wellness Center at St. John's Prep cost more than, you know, Gym X? I don't know.
But they charge the same for tickets, I know that. Yeah, they don't have the price of admission, right? Depending on the court.
No, I don't think so. I mean, no, and what is it to get in a tournament game? That's not bad compared to like the football. Football is quite a bit more than that. Yeah, I think so.
I got to think the college venues are going to charge you more than the high school venues for whatever because of their member schools and so on. So, anything else on it from any of you to wrap up wrestling or then the playoff system?
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I tried to, you know, it was a really interesting thing. I recommend anybody read all of our coverage. You know, I tried to be open-minded and fair, and they certainly made a lot of nice points about the merits of this. You know, at the end of the day, I don't think it's a good thing. I you know, the more I thought about it, I said no. And ever since the vote, I've come to feel a little bit more strongly about it. You know, I got a message from one longtime North Shore basketball fan that said, well, I really like watching my nephew play, but I'm probably not going to be able to watch him play. But hey, at least the South basketball bracket will be equitable now. It seems to me we did all this just because the South basketball bracket was hard. And it's like, you know what? Sports are hard. Deal with it. The Bruins have to play Tampa Bay in the second round. Those are the two best teams in the NHL. We're not going to do a continent-wide tournament over it. Deal with it. How many times have the two best teams in the NBA met in either the second round or the Western Conference Finals? Deal with it. It happens. You know, one of their big points about this was, oh, the NCAA tournament's the model. We want it to be like the NCAA tournament, right? Well, the whole point of March Madness is that there's upsets. You want to get the two best teams in the finals. How often does the number one seed and the number two seed even make the final four, never mind the finals, in the NCAA basketball tournament? It's not going to happen. So I think it's a lot of juggling and a lot of consternation about nothing. The more I think about it from a Salem News tournament perspective, it's bad because I think it is going to make maybe potentially better matchups at the end of the tournament. Most of the teams around here are going to be out by then. So, Duxbury's going to have a great game against Manfield in the state tournament. I don't care. My teams are home by then. So, you know, it's not my job to make a great tournament for the whole state.
You know what's funny, too, is that, you know, the state finds holes to poke in this argument. You know, if you're out in the western or central part of the state, it's, well, they just want the Eastern Mass teams in the state finals playing each other. And if you're in this part of the state, it's like, well, why do we care about those teams, you know? And, you know, I've heard people say, hey, get outside your little 495 belt and whatnot. I mean, to me, the biggest thing is doing away with the sectional championships. I think that's wrong.
I got something to add on that, too. I mean, these teams, if it's one big bracket now, they're going to win 3-4 games and have nothing to show for it. Right. Like, now you get the sectional championship. That's a big deal to those schools.
It's always been win 3 or 4 games and get nothing.
Yeah.
The MIA has given away 34 trophies in hockey this year, 4 to the girls, 30 to the boys. I mean, you wonder why there's a blue ribbon committee. That's why.
It used to be that way in lacrosse, too. It was a statewide tournament. In fact,
but that's more because there's less teams, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think it's because the coaches' association's not interested in dealing with girls' hockey, and they just. This is just what it is.
Yeah. Not to argue, not to go off your topic, Willie, but I do think you could make the argument that while a sectional championship obviously does not equate to a state championship, those games can sometimes, and bear with me here, almost be more exciting because you're in a smaller venue and that's usually packed. No, whether it's soccer, football, baseball, you know, whatever you're talking about here. You have at least somewhat knowledge of the team you're playing. If you're Danvers and you're meeting, you know, whoever, Woburn, for the state, for the North softball crown, let's say, you have at least an idea of like, oh, yeah, they're in the Middlesex League and this is their coach. And, oh, I've heard of this player because we were on a travel team that, you know, she struck out 16 girls or, you know, that kind of thing. If you take that away and you go from a first-round matchup, your Danvers and your first-round opponent is Oliver Ames, and then your second-round opponent is Methuen, and your third-round opponent is Marston Mills. Who the hell cares? You know, I mean, that's the biggest problem I have. And I will say, those North sectional titles mean something. I go back just a couple of years, and the class of, oh, God, it's running through my head here now. Was it 16 or 17 in Beverly? I think it was a class of 17. That group of kids won the North football crown in Billerica that fall, and then they won the North lacrosse crown in Wakefield that spring. And in both instances, those guys were as happy as if they had won a state title, celebrating, and you know they trot out the MIAA banner and all this stuff. But those were great wins for those teams, and those kids were psyched, and it didn't matter to them that it wasn't a state title. You know, so I think there's going to be a little something lost in the shuffle there.
2 points. The first one is that, you know, I think most people in the lacrosse community would tell you that the tournament has gotten better since they added the North and South. Certainly for those of us in the North, because most of the good teams are in the South, so our teams would have never gotten that far before. You know, covering them down on the South Shore is really hard. There's a lot of traffic and whatnot. Second thing, I mean, I'm going to date myself a little bit here, but the Swampscott girls basketball team that won the state title about 10 years ago, they went through Pentucket in the North Final, a team that had beaten them a bunch of times. They went through Archie's in the semifinal at the Garden, a team that had beaten them a bunch of times. And then they wrecked Quaybog in the state final. So I think like the advantage of this plan is that Swampscott Quaybog's never going to be a state final. Quaybog's going to be dead and buried long before the state final. You know, so great. The games at the end are going to be a little bit better. But you're going to lose that rivalry where this is the fourth time in a row that Swampscott's meeting Pentucket in the North Final, and these girls really want to win that North title because they've been so close and blah, blah, blah. So you're taking that away.
You beat Pentucket. You beat Archie's. Exactly. You know, yeah, okay, maybe it's anticlimactic when you beat Quaybog by, what was it, 30 points or something like that? I mean, they smoked him, I remember. But would it have the same effect if you beat Quaybog in the round of 8? And then it's like, oh, now we get to play Pentucket in the semifinals. Like, you know.
I said to somebody about Pat Connaughton's state championship team at St. John's Prep. I think everybody thought that at that time, Connaughton's team and the, I think it was Jimmy Zenovich was on Central Catholic at the time. And those were the two best teams in the state. Carson was still playing, too.
Yeah.
So, really? You know, they met in the North Final, or it might have even been the North Semis. And then the Prep played a pretty good team from Springfield somewhere in the state final. You know, you're telling me that if they had played the Springfield team 2 rounds earlier and the Central team in the final, that would have made that championship mean more somehow? I mean, it was awesome either way. You know, nobody sat there saying, oh, geez, I wish we could have flipped the order of these 2 games and it would have made the tournament better.
I say let's pick up on this another time because there's a lot to talk about on this one here, and we'll have some time to do that, I'm sure, in the days ahead here.
That's called the tease.
That's coming up, folks, coming up. We're running long here now, though.
We are running long. We should note this takes effect for fall 2021, so it won't be next year but the year after. So they do have some time to work out some of the kinks. All right.
That's the final word. Matt Williams, Phil Stacey, Nick Giannino, I'm Bill Newell.
The sports writers from the Salem News. Team coverage, topics, and sports names in the news on MSONewsSports.com and SalemNews.com.